Our text this evening is just a fragment of the 12th verse of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul is moved by the Holy Spirit to say to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And it's that second exhortation in that verse that I want to make the focus of our thinking this evening. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. And the observant ones among you will have noticed that when we read that chapter together, that little phrase is not only mentioned in verse 12, but is referred to again in verse 19, when in a short section addressing particularly the rich, and I have to say that that includes us all, if we were to compare ourselves, even our financial resources and our freedoms and liberties and all the pleasures that we can enjoy in our lives, well, even the poorest of us would be more wealthy than the rich of that day, but they too are urged in verse 19 to lay hold on eternal life. More of that in just a little while. Paul here is bringing to Timothy's attention a number of exhortations, duties, commands that he is to pay special attention to in his conduct in his Christian life. In verse 11, having spoken about a number of errors and problems that were to be avoided, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Leave those things away. Run from them as far as you possibly can. And by contrast, follow after," and then comes along a whole series of attributes, of fruits of the Spirit, but moving immediately and seamlessly into this little sequence of exhortations. So we know that this is to Christian believers. We are to flee the things of which he has spoken before, and as part of our fleeing and following after, we are to lay hold on eternal life. The term itself, to lay hold, is an interesting one. It's doesn't need a great deal of explanation in many ways. It means to take a firm grasp, to take a very secure grasp. And in my mind, I picture, and more on this a little later, picture the idea that this isn't a single-handed holding on to something. This is holding on with both hands. The security of the grasp on eternal life that is required here simply demands that it must be wholehearted, committed, and taking a firm grasp of. It needs to be tenacious. There will be temptations to relinquish your hold. There will be many distractions. There will be many things that will command your attention and seek to draw your hold. But the command to us is to lay hold on eternal life. And the idea is that you lay hold and you keep hold. You make it your resolution that you're not going to relinquish that hold at all. It is a dependent hold. It is a hold that says, I take hold on eternal life because it matters. Because there's something to be gained and much to be lost if I lose that hold on eternal life. And by nature of it being a two-handed grasp, picturing it in that way, it is an exclusive grasp. You can only hold on to that. You can't be holding on to other things at the same time. Now, some of you know me very well. Some of you know that I love to preach the gospel. And although this passage, this verse, is written to Christian believers, I can't help but speak for a moment or two to any here who as yet don't know what it is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you know the gospel message. You've heard it often. Perhaps there's a measure of spiritual concern within you. You know that you're a sinner and you need the grace of God. You need to be forgiven. Well, there's something that you can learn even from this little phrase, that may help you in your seeking after God, after the forgiveness of your sins. This is something that needs to be laid hold of. This is not something that you can do in a semi-serious way, vacillating, one moment concerned, another moment back in the things of the world. What Paul is saying is that this is of such vital importance that if we are to know the forgiveness of God, if we are to walk with him, we have got to be in deadly earnest. This is something that I have got to lay hold on. I have got to grasp, and I've got to grasp in that exclusive, dependent, wholehearted way, never to let go. Are you serious enough in your seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a very wonderful verse in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, where the Lord Jesus Christ says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Curious words, but really an illustration of the point I'm trying to get across. If we are to be dealt with by our God, if we desire the salvation of our souls, we must be in deadly earnest. That must be reflected in our prayers, in our deep desire, abiding desire, to take hold on eternal life and never to let it go. We're to take hold of the wonderful promises of the gospel. I shan't rehearse them before you now. There are so many to be found in the word of God, but to lay hold on eternal life as a seeking soul is to take the promises of God and to take him at his word and to plead those promises before him and say, Lord, I depend upon that promise of thy grace, and to go to him and to keep going before him, pleading those promises. To lay hold on eternal life is to depend upon the promises of God. Secondly, it's to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ as the pearl of great price. I must have Christ. I must have him. I must have him above all else. And I'm prepared to let go of all else and to take hold on Christ and to depend upon what he did on the cross. And I'm never going to let go of Christ. And I'm going to plead with my God until he gives me an interest in the saving work of Jesus Christ. To be in deadly earnest, to lay hold on eternal life, is to see him as the supreme objective, to know, to have, and to walk with Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. And lastly, before we move on, to lay hold on eternal life is simply to go to God and to plead. That's all you can do. Just plead with him for mercy. You have nothing that you can take, nothing that you can bring. Just go to him for mercy and go again and again until he hears your cry and blesses you with salvation, even in seeking. This has something to say. Lay hold on eternal life. It is a wonderful blessing to gain, but it must be striven for. We cannot earn it, but we strive for it, and we are earnest, and we seek it above everything else. And now, turning more to believers, although even what I'm about to say has much to do with seekers after the blessings of the gospel too. By implication, when the Apostle Paul moved by the Spirit to say to Timothy, lay hold on eternal life, I've implied it already, is if you are to lay hold on eternal life in the way that is being set before us here, there are things that you are going to have to let go of. There are some things that you are going to have to relinquish your hold on, so that you can give both hands, all of your might and main, to laying hold on eternal life. And again, seekers, if I can address you, to lay hold on eternal life, there are things that you have got to let go. Or ask the Lord's help to let go of your prejudices against him, and your pride, and your doubts. All those things which you keep a hold of and prevent you from committing wholeheartedly to seeking the Lord. You've got to release. You've got to let go of those doubts, those prejudices, and your pride. I've mentioned already to let go of any imagined goodness or righteousness that you might feel you have. Oh, see it as the Bible sees it. Nothing but filthy rags. Even our best endeavours, even the best that we do, even when we do that which is right, it's so often from wrong motives and done in the wrong spirit and remains an offence against our God. I let go of all that, not 10%, not 5%, nothing at all I bring. I let it go so that I can with both hands lay hold on eternal life. Let go of the world. We spoke a little of this morning, its false promises, the bright lights, all that would attract us and draw us aside. Let it go for the sake of possessing Jesus Christ. Or as seekers, there is so much that we must let go. But believers too, if we are as Paul would have us to lay hold on eternal life, there is much that we must let go, much that will inhibit us. If we keep a hand on certain things, we'll be prevented from laying hold and enjoying the blessings of eternal life as we ought. We begin with our sinful traits and tendencies. Yes, we've been saved. Our hearts have been renewed. We've been given a new life. But there is resident within us still that corrupt, sinful nature. And that those lusts and passions that reside within us will so often come to the fore. There is so much that will tempt us and draw us aside into sinful ways. And how often do we find ourselves committing the same sins, the same master sins that dominated us before our conversion, even as those who have been saved by his grace, because we keep hold of them. There's still a place in our hearts for these things. And if we are to lay hold on eternal life, we have consciously got to do the hard work of letting go, of getting rid of those things in our lives. You'll know the passage in Colossians chapter 3 where Paul uses an illustration. He says, put off. And he uses the idea of taking off clothing which is dirty and soiled and inappropriate, and putting on new clothing, fresh clothing, clean clothing. And that's the illustration that I'm trying to get you to see here. We have consciously, and seeking the Lord's help, to put out of our lives all known sinful tendencies. It takes hard work, because we secretly love these things so often. But if we're to lay hold on eternal life, I must be prepared to do the hard work of letting go of those sinful traits. What about worldly ambitions? Again, some of you here are very young. I hope you have long lives and you know great success in the careers that you choose. Oh, but if you're a Christian believer, don't hold too much store by worldly ambitions. So much will be presented to you as attractive and things to go after. And these things will, bit by bit, seek to draw you aside from your hold on eternal life. And if you're not careful, you'll find that worldly ambitions have encroached and you've taken one hand off eternal life and you've got another hand on worldly ambitions. And before long, that other hand on eternal life is going to be loosened as well. And we see from time to time Christians who spend many years of heartache and disappointment and frustration and unhappiness because they've relinquished their hold on eternal life and they've taken too firm a hold on worldly ambitions, even the spirit of this world. Oh, be watchful for the spirit of this world, its attitudes, the things that it promotes. You may say, well, I'd never fall prey to those things. But you know, we've got grandchildren, and maybe they're holding something, and you're playing a game, and you're teasing them, and you're trying to grab that item from their hands. Now you can just grab it, and that's one way of getting it. Oh, but you see, so often what you do is you distract them, or you tease them, or you do something that just draws their attention away, and then you've got it. And that's how the world operates. It's very insidious. It's very crafty and very careful. It doesn't come at you in a direct way, but it comes at you through the side door. And it sort of tickles you a little and distracts you a little. And then soon you discover that you've taken hold of the things of this world, and you regard them with too great a veneration, and you look to those things rather than eternal life. And this is a little harder to speak about, but you know, even things that are our legitimate concerns, we have to be watchful. Am I holding on to these things too much? Are they preventing me from laying hold on eternal life as I ought? I'm thinking of our work, even our family, our leisure time, the pleasures that we are legitimately allowed to have. These things all must have their rightful place. They are our duties, given to us in the Word of God, even in our chapter. Servants are exhorted to give their best in service to their masters. And in our place of work, we give of our best to those who employ us. But we're careful, because we don't want to be giving so much to that, that we've got a hold of that at the expense of laying hold on eternal life. And we've got to be prepared to let it go a little. Maybe be prepared in the workplace to suffer disadvantage, looked over for promotion because we aren't as committed as some of our more worldly companions in the workplace. Because my desire is to serve my God, to lay hold on eternal life. And I don't want anything that means my hold on these things distracts me from holding on to eternal life. Even family. Oh, what a blessing our families are. What joys they bring. What a wonderful privilege it is to know the love of a family. And yet it's possible to make family to have too big a place in our lives, to hold on to these things, to put too much store into those things. And our hold on eternal life is not what it should be. We need to have these things in proportion. And so we ration and we're careful over the amount of time, energy, thought, and so on that we give our hold on even these legitimate things, so that we can truly take hold on eternal life. And so we come then to consider more positively. What does it mean to take hold on eternal life? Well, Paul is an elderly writer of this epistle, and he's writing to someone who is much younger than he is. And so we can draw from that Paul's concern is that this is not something that is parked at the end of life. Eternal life and taking hold of eternal life is something that should be of concern to us all the way through our journey of life. Timothy, you're young, Paul seems to be saying. I've come towards the end of my life. For me, I can see, of course, eternity, eternal life in its reality, dawns in even greater measure upon my mind. But this is something that all who are Christian believers may know. Eternal life, the Bible teaches, is a present reality. Let me quote you a number of scriptures. John chapter 6 and verse 47, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. We know them, we can recite them, and we can pass too quickly over some of the implications. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It doesn't say he that believeth on me will have everlasting life. It's not something that is promised in the future. This is something that is a present reality now. To possess Christ, to believe in him, is already to enter onto the experience of eternal life. He that believeth on me hath, right now, eternal life, everlasting life. The same idea is expressed in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, not will have, not at some point in the future will enter into this experience, but hath the Son now. And the verse goes on to say, he that hath not the Son hath not life. Even the life you have in the body, in the flesh, your ordinary, as it were, bodily experience can hardly be considered as life. But if you have Christ, you have life, even now. What we are called upon to do is to take hold of something that is already ours. I speak to lots of children in class and introduce new ideas in maths to them. And suddenly they say something like, I get it. We might say, I've grasped it. And that's the idea here. That mathematical idea has always been there. But now I've apprehended it, I've understood it. It means now something to me. Well, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It has begun for you now. What we're called upon to do here is to take hold of it, to grasp it, to appreciate it, to fully experience it. A couple of years ago in school, I ran a club, and this club was to teach children how to do coding on web pages. It was a very interesting club. A number of boys and girls came along, and I encouraged them, as they learned the basic ideas, to go away and experiment. And one boy came the following week, and he had a bit of a grin on his face, but he said, I've made a web page for you, sir. So I said, let me see it. So he opened it up. And this web page, it was a blank screen, apart from two words. And on the screen, all it said was, click here. The problem is that when you moved your mouse anywhere near where it said, click here, he'd made it so the words would move. And the thing that you were told to do was the one thing that was absolutely impossible to do. And no matter how fast you are, how quickly you tried to get that mouse over those two words, the words got out of the way, and you couldn't click on those words. Well, that's a great contrast with what Paul intends here. Is he saying, take hold on eternal life, click here. And as we try to do it, it's something that is impossible for us to do. No, this isn't something that is hard. This isn't something that is impossible. This isn't something that is going to tax us. This isn't something otherworldly. This is something that we can express in tangible ways, which we shall look at in just a moment. About a week ago, I watched a program about fishing. And in this program, the man who was commenting through this program, he was after some particular fish, and he went to this market, and there were these bowls. This was in the Far East. There were these great pots full of fish. And one of the fish that he was interested in was in one of these bowls. And he put his hand in, and he seemed to have it, but then it slipped out of his hand. And the more he tried to get it, he almost had it, and then it slipped out of his hand. Is this exhortation like that? Is it something that you think you've got the idea, but then it becomes elusive, and you find that you haven't really got it? No, this is something that is tangible. Something that we can really think about in practical ways. And let me make a few suggestions. We're told here to lay hold on eternal life. We've seen that for all who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life has begun. It is a present reality. Well, here is my first piece of advice. Live as someone who possesses eternal life. Surely that's what it means to lay hold on it. Imagine someone was able to think of for you the most useful, the most beautiful, the most valuable gift, the thing that you needed most of all to have. Maybe you didn't even know yourself that you needed it as much as you did, but this thoughtful person understood you in a way that meant that they were able to provide this perfect gift for you. And they wrapped it up, and they prepared it for you, and your birthday came, and they presented it to you, and you were to open the gift, and you were to be amazed at it, and you were to admire its beauty, and you were to say, what a wonderful and useful gift that is, how valuable it is. I'll put it in my attic. And maybe sometime in the future, I'll get it out and use it. Are you crazy? This is the most useful thing. You didn't even know yourself how much you needed it, how valuable it would be to you. It's been given to you. But use it. In the same way, we are to lay hold on eternal life. It has been given to us. It is a present reality. Well, then live as one who is the recipient of such a wonderful blessing. It ushers you into a new experience and relationship with your God and Saviour. It is the beginning of heaven. Heaven, in some measure, its blessings, oh yes, in a lesser way, I know, that can begin to be appreciated even now. Don't put it away and think that eternal life is something when I'm called from this life into eternity, that's when eternal life begins. Oh no, it begins now. And it's a gift. It's a precious thing, a valuable thing, a helpful thing to hold you along the way. Appreciate it. Live as someone who possesses the gift of eternal life. Secondly, think much about eternity. When you read your Bible every day, and you're going through a passage, be very conscious of those passages that speak of heaven, the dwelling place of our God, all the activities that the people of God, the redeemed, will enjoy in that wonderful realm. Don't pass over them. All these are wonderful things to come. Think much about them. Enjoy that what is revealed so much we don't even yet have capacity fully to understand the blessings that God has in store for those that love him. And has not seen, ear has not heard, mind cannot understand the glories of that realm, but we have a lot of information. All do appreciate and value all that is revealed. Think much about eternity. Allow it to find a residence in your heart and in your mind. Thirdly, bring eternity into your present experience. What do I mean by that? Lay hold on eternal life by bringing something of eternity into what you are doing right now. Ask the question, what will I be doing when I get to heaven? What are the activities of the redeemed? Well, there is light, there is glory, there is bliss, there is happiness. Oh, but chief of all, Christ is there. My Saviour is there. He is going to be at the heart of everything. He is going to be the centre, the focus of our worship, our praise and our adoration. Well, bring eternity to now. Think much of Christ. Make him the centre of your life, the centre of your existence. Bring everything that you do to him. Seek his blessing upon every activity, the commonplace as well as the challenging and the difficult. Bring everything to Christ. Make him the centre of your life. It's to lay hold on eternal life. What will I be doing in heaven? Well, I shall be worshipping him and serving him night and day. Well, bring eternity to now. Oh, every opportunity that I have to worship, I'm going to grasp, I'm going to take, because it's going to bring me nearer to my Saviour. It's going to give me a sense of what it is to be close to him. Every service, in the week as well as on Sunday, if at all possible, I want to be there. I want to be among the Lord's people. I want to sing his praise. I want to pray to him. I want to serve him. What can I do to serve my Lord this week? Who can I speak to? Who can I testify to regarding what Christ has done for me? What can I do to push forward the kingdom of my dear Saviour? I'm going to serve him in heaven, or I long, therefore, to serve him here below as well. So many unhappy Christians are unhappy because they don't serve their God. They're not laying hold on eternal life and knowing its privileges and its blessings even now. Oh, but if we are to lay hold on eternal life, we bring eternity to now. And for us, every opportunity for worship, whether privately or together with the Lord's people, is so precious. Every opportunity to serve, in no matter how small a capacity, I love and I eagerly take and I seek to serve him with all my powers. What is it to be in heavenly glory? Well, it's to be with all the others who have been redeemed. All those who share that common experience with me, who have been forgiven. All their experiences in some ways are very different to mine. But what will I be doing in heaven? But I'll be hearing the testimonies of others, hearing their life experiences and praising the Saviour for them. Well, bring eternity to now. Enjoy the fellowship of the Lord's people. Seek often to be with the Lord's people. Share with one another how the Lord is dealing with you. Then you can pray for one another. This is practically speaking what it means to lay hold on eternal life. But having spoken of these things, letting go, relinquishing our hold on some things so that we can take hold. What it means to take hold on eternal life. There's something inescapable in this passage, and it's another application of this little phrase. Lay hold on eternal life for others. For others. Look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Listen. And hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Witness, testimony, is very much bound up in this. Look on to verse 13, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on in that verse it says, Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Again, witness, testimony, is all bound up in this. In that later passage speaking to the rich, where they are told that they should not trust, be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. What are the good works? What are they to do? I'm speaking in a pathetic way. It's certainly not helping old ladies across the street. Not good works in that way, but good works in bringing the gospel to others. It goes on to confirm that. It says, ready to distribute. Listen to this. Willing to communicate. Look in your margins. The literal meaning of that is sociable. Talkative. Sharing. The message of the gospel. In so doing, they're laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It's inescapable. That there is implied here an exhortation to lay hold on eternal life for others. For this has application to us as individuals and also to you all as a church. Are you laying hold on eternal life for others? Mr. Spurgeon, in addressing the prayer meeting at the Tabernacle all those years ago, would often urge the people to pray them in. The people who had no interest in spiritual things, the people who were out and out worldlings, the people who had no interest in matters of the soul, who would never pray for themselves. He urged his people, pray them in, lay hold on eternal life on behalf of those who will not pray for themselves. Well, do we? This is a great challenge to us and for every one of us. I'm sure there are people that we can think of, that we can say before our God, Lord, please give me strength and give me the determination to lay hold on eternal life for this one, so that I will pray for them daily. Is there someone in your family? They've turned their back upon the Lord. And despite all your best efforts to tell them the message of the gospel, they seem absolutely set on rejecting all that is contained in the Word of God. Well, then lay hold on eternal life for them. Plead for them before God. And don't leave hold of your God until that eternal life is granted. Are they a rebel? Have they gone a long way? Are they out of reach? Well, lay hold on eternal life for them. Oh, it's surprising how often those who have gone furthest, God is first pleased to bless with the blessings of salvation, because someone's praying for them. Someone's laid hold on eternal life on their behalf and prayed them in. What about the community, the people that surround this place? You go out and knock the doors. So often you're going to know rejection, the door shut in your face, and it's a hard work to do. Well, lay hold on eternal life for your community. There's a wonderful verse in Joshua, the first chapter in verse 3, where Joshua is being commissioned by the Lord. Once Moses departed the scene, Joshua is now to take on the role of leadership among the children of Israel. And the sentiment that is expressed is not only given here, but given also to Moses, and I think in other places to Joshua again. And in that passage, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. What a promise. What a promise. Joshua, your commission to go and to possess the land, all you have to do is walk over the land. Walk over, traverse every part of the land. That's all you have to do. I will be with you. I will fight your battles alongside and for you. I will help you. I will be the agency that actually secures the possession of the land. All you have to do is to place your soul upon that land. Bit by bit, it's a slow work. It's an arduous work. It's a work that's going to take a lot of time and effort. But that's what it is to lay hold on eternal life for others. Are you prepared to get your hands dirty and get alongside people who come from troubled backgrounds? Because as you spend time with them, the sole of your foot is treading out the land and you're laying hold on eternal life for that individual, members of that family, and so on. Oh, what a promise, though, if we only would take it seriously, to listen to people, to hear their griefs, to hear their stories, then to bring the gospel to bear, to lay hold on eternal life. What about your Sunday school children? So many, and all their families. Will you before the Lord say, Lord, I'm going to plead with thee for this child and their family until I see progress, until I see their conversion, until I see them brought in. What a challenge. And yet what a tremendous blessing we can see and experience as we lay hold on eternal life. You know, nothing that we do in this world is lasting. Verse 7 of our chapter, 1 Timothy 6, says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Nothing that we commit to in this world is lasting. No achievement that we make will survive us very long. Even those whose reputation and their discoveries have outlived them, well, they're very few and far between. And even those who are the greatest minds, the things that they have come up with, well, we know that they're very limited in many respects. But to lay hold on eternal life for others, to be engaged in the great work of reclaiming lost sinners and seeking through the power and blessing of God to bring the gospel to a community and to individuals that the Lord has laid on our hearts is the one work that goes with us into the eternal realm. And that's why when we're thinking here about laying hold on eternal life for others, once that eternal life has been apprehended, has been secured, it is lasting. All other achievements pale into insignificance compared to what it is to see a lost sinner saved by the grace of God. So Paul has been exhorting us to lay hold on eternal life. Let go all the distracting influences. Lay hold in a committed, determined, dependent, exclusive way on eternal life, that present reality. Bring heaven to now. Live as one who has received the gift of eternal life. And then seek with the Lord's help to lay hold on eternal life for others. And the Lord will bless and do wonderful things. And we'll see and know great joy and peace in believing. May the Lord help us, each one truly, to lay hold on eternal life. Let's pray. Gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for thy word. O Lord, we thank thee that it speaks to us in such practical ways to help us along the Christian pathway. We pray that we may know and enjoy that wonderful experience of eternal life even now, that we may take hold of these deep and wonderful things, and that we may desire and see the salvation of many souls. O Lord, bless us in all these things, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.